From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 22nd day of June, 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vague. She's at TotalFarmMarketing.com. We'll hear from the statisticians in Illinois and Iowa about weekly crop progress and conditions on the ground in their states. And then we'll take a look at the cash grain segment with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing, right here in Champaign County, Illinois. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast too. Drew Lerner will be here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He'll tell us that Iowa is the garden spot in the United States as it's related to corn production, and that all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn settled today at $7.68. That was up 7.25 cents. The December at $6.93 3/4, however, down 7 3/4. July beans at $16.52 3/4, down 28 1/4. And November at $14.76 1/2, 34 cents lower. The bean meal futures $1.10 higher. The bean oil for the day down $2.71. Wheat futures for the July, 1 1/4 higher at $9.76 1/2 for the soft red. The hard red at $10.39 1/4, down 2 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $134.92 1/2, $1.32 1/2 lower. The feeders at $173.15, down $2.15 per 100 pounds. And lean hogs at $108.32 1/2, $1.47 1/2 lower on the afternoon. Crude oil at $106.68 a barrel, down $2.81. The wholesale price of diesel fuel 5 3/10 cents higher at $4.28 4/10 cents. And the price of gasoline on the RBOB, that's a wholesale price as well, at $2.73 1/2, up 3 9/10 cents. Natural gas 5 9/10 cents higher at $6.86 7/10 cents. The S&P 500 up about 27.5 points for the day at 3795, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 30,694, around 170 points higher on this Tuesday afternoon. Jackie Vakes of TotalFarmMarketing.com now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for being with us. Let's begin on our normal areas today. The support and resistance levels, please.
All righty. Well, this will be our last week for July. So July corn, 707, 824. September, 685, 779. December, 674, 715. July beans, 1616 and 1741. August, 1514 and 1692. November, 1397 and 1555. Move to July gold, 1789 and 1803. Dow Jones index, 28,670 to 31,532. Quite a drop. And U.S. dollar the same as last week, 102.98 to 106.47. When we move into the managed money, Todd, kind of interesting because last week, if you remember, the week before last, they were short wheat. Then last week, they went long 9,000 wheat, and now they're short 9,000 wheat. So you can see why wheat is all over the place. On corn, they went from long 272 to 277. Beans, 153 to 156,000. On soy meal, from 41,000 to 54,000 long. Soy oil, they dropped their long position from 71,000 to 62,000. And so index traders, interesting there. They increased their corn position by 62,62, their bean position by 12,478, and dropped their wheat position by 3,076. And anybody who's been watching the markets knows that the wheat has been the leader to the downside. So export inspections, wheat exports ended down 12% from 11% last year. Corn 18% behind a year ago, 17% last week. Soybeans 11% behind compared to 12% last week.
given all that, I believe it feels like we could be entering a weather market, and of course, there might be some pressure from the outside markets as well.
Well, there's no question about that, Todd. You know, at this time of year, it is weather, weather, weather. You know, we had a change in the Midwest forecast to dry with normal temperatures, and, you know, that really took the air out of the bull's balloon, I can tell you that much. But we've got states that are developing topsoil shortages, and so Europe and the Black Sea region are getting some pretty much needed rain, and all of that is pressuring wheat. The grain markets, I truly believe, suffered downward pressure due to margin calls from the crude oil market. You know, you look at an $8 drop last week and down $4 so far this week, especially on the talk that Biden is going to ask Congress to suspend gas and diesel taxes until September, and that's really squeezing the longs. And you add to that talk that the Fed may become more aggressive in raising rates, and that could trigger index fund long liquidation. So we've got a lot of moving parts in this wheel that we call the commodity market. Now, we did see that a flash drought has developed across the Midwest, especially in Illinois, Indiana, Missouri over the last 30 days. And, you know, that forecast doesn't look so good as far as any widespread moisture relief. So, you know, we know who've been around for a long time means we have to go and look at what the subsoil moistures look like. And so I looked at Illinois. I mean, Illinois still had, as of this weekend, 68% adequate topsoil moisture, and they have 78% adequate subsoil moisture. So even though the grain is probably standing still in the field, it's never a bad thing necessarily for it to put roots down. In Missouri, 75% topsoil adequate, 85% subsoil adequate. So they have a good amount of moisture. Indiana, they basically topsoil 69% adequate and subsoil 77% adequate. So we're going to have a longer period yet without rain before we really start to see major problems. The big difference, like in 2012, is we came into this with very, very low subsoil moisture. So this certainly gives us a chance anyway. But I wanted to talk about the crop progress report, Todd. I mean, you know, corn came in at 70% good to excellent, beans 68% good to excellent. All of that sounds great and was expected, you know, so the market didn't really have any major reactions to it. But what I thought was interesting was Illinois dropped 6%. They went from 77 to 71. Indiana went down 4%, 74 to 70. Iowa went down 3%. 86 to 83. Kansas went down 3%, 58 to 55. Now, Minnesota did go up 7%. They went from 58 to 65. Michigan dropped 10%. And, you know, we're already talking about major production states here, you know. So when you look at an overall 70, Pennsylvania is at 91% good to excellent. They certainly don't carry the weight that you would see in Illinois or Indiana or Iowa. And same thing with Wisconsin being at 82%. So I just want people to be aware of the fact that, yes, the trade reacts to these numbers, but they don't necessarily bear out. And when you look at soybean conditions, very similar. Illinois dropped 10% on their good to excellent on beans. Indiana 3, Iowa 2. Kentucky 5, Louisiana 10, Michigan 13, and so forth. And so there too, you know, some of your major states are most definitely having issues, and it'll be worth watching. Let's just put it that way.
What do you have from around the rest of the world for us today?
Well, you know, in the past, at times we've talked about how Brazilian farmers will, you know, they used to trade grain for inputs. Well, and the government stepped in and said, we can't do that anymore. So now they're just selling corn for inputs. Okay, so it's really not a whole lot different. But they're buying inputs for 22-23 soybean crop right now. And since they started, their prices have dropped about 4%. And so the average price down there on corn at the moment is at $6.33 a bushel. You know, so it's definitely having an impact. There's no question about that because they're making sales. But, you know, they're very afraid they're not going to get fertilizer. So they want to lock it up as fast as they can. And when you talk about corn, remember we've talked about some of the different pests and diseases that have been developing down in Brazil. Something new to the marketplace is the corn leafhopper. is what they call it. It was in Paraná already in 2017, but it's become much more prevalent, and it's really having an impact. They transmit a bacteria and a virus. And so once that corn plant is infected, the leaves turn yellow with red stripes, and the plant vigor goes away. They just don't develop normally. They exhibit stunting and dwarfing. The ears are smaller than normal, and they, of course, have less grain. So the extent of yield loss varies by the level of infection and the timing of the infection, but it can easily reach 50%. Can you imagine? Since it's such a new pest, you know, they really don't know how to control that insect. And so during this year's safrinha corn growing season in western Paraná, a number of farmers had to actually apply four different insecticide applications, with some guys having to apply as many as eight. That really adds a lot of cost to the bottom line in a time when costs are so high already. Makes for a very difficult situation.
That's right. Hey, interesting stuff. As always, thank you very much for taking the time with me today.
You're welcome, Todd. You have a great day.
You too. That's Jackie Vegg. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Monday morning that 95% of the corn crop around the nation had emerged. That's right on pace with the five-year average. The condition of the crop is 57% good, 13% excellent, for a total of 70% in those two categories. That's down 2 percentage points from the previous week and up from last year. Soybeans planted now at 94%, the five-year average, 93%. Emergence at 83%. Emergence last year, 84%. The condition of the crop, 58% good, 10% excellent, for a total of 68% good to excellent in those two categories. That's off by 2 percentage points as well from the previous week. Winter wheat harvest has proceeded to 25% in the last week. 22% is the rolling five-year average around the nation. 91% of that crop, by the way, is headed. Normally, it's 95%. The condition of the crop, just 25% good and 5% excellent. And that's down 1 percentage point from the previous week. One final note for this week. We'll take a look at topsoil moisture across the nation. In the 48 reporting states, it's said to be 59% adequate and 6% surplus. Last year, that number was 50% adequate and 5% surplus. Now, here are the state statisticians from Illinois and Iowa.
This is Melissa Bond, statistical assistant for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Fieldwork activities included cutting hay and spraying corn and soybeans. Topsoil moisture condition rated 3% very short, 17% short, 74% adequate, and 6% surplus. Corn condition rating was 83% good to excellent. 93% of soybeans have emerged, 6 days behind last year, but 3 days ahead of average. Iowa's soybean condition rating was 80% good to excellent. 62% of the oat crop is headed, 3 days behind last year. Iowa's oat condition remained at 82% good to excellent. 81% of the state's first cutting of alfalfa hay has been completed, 1 week behind the previous year and 4 days behind average. Some producers were working on their second cutting. All hay condition rated 73% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 62% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, Illinois State Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. There were 5.9 days suitable for field work last week, and Illinois farmers used those days for harvesting wheat and hay, planting some soybeans, and for applying fertilizer and chemicals. Topsoil moisture was rated 2% very short, 29 short, 68 adequate, and 1% surplus on Sunday. Temperatures averaged 78.8 degrees last week, and that was nearly 6 degrees above normal. The average rainfall across the prairie state was 1/2 inch, whereas the normal rainfall for this time of year is just over 1 inch. Wheat harvest advanced by 15 points and is now 18% finished. That compares to 10% 1 year ago and 29% for the five-year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop was rated 11% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 69% good to excellent. That's a little worse than 1 week ago. Soybean planting is now 98% finished. That compares to 93% for the five-year average. 93% of soybean acres have emerged. The condition of the soybean crop was 6% very poor to poor, 28% fair, and 66% good to excellent, a little worse than the previous week. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was rated 4% very poor to poor, 25% fair, and 71% good to excellent, also a little worse than last week. In other crops, the first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 85% complete, and other hay harvest is 78% finished. Finally, pasture conditions also declined and were rated 4% very poor to poor, 25% fair, and 71% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain segment. We're joined by Greg Johnson. He's with TGM, TotalGrainMarketing.com. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us. Tell us about conditions in our area, please.
Hot and dry. We've missed a lot of the rain. There were some rains last week, but they kind of missed Champaign County and the surrounding communities. And that's got farmers worried. There's a 40% chance of rain, I guess, this weekend, and we sure could use it. We with this hot weather, we've really been soaking up the subsoil moisture. The crops are, you know, curling and trying to conserve as much moisture as they can in the afternoon, and so far so good, but we just can't keep going week after week without rain. And so the first week of July is shaping up as a very critical week for the corn and soybean crops.
In the eastern Corn Belt, this is fairly common at this point, and the western Corn Belt hasn't had rain for quite a while now, I don't think.
Iowa got some rain last week. They had some pretty good rains in Iowa, but Nebraska, yes, Nebraska has really been suffering. And then it seems like the rains fizzle out as they come across the Mississippi River, Illinois, and Indiana, both dry. And even Ohio, which has been so wet, they finally just got their crop planted. Now even they say they need rain. And that's hard to imagine that rain, you know, as much rain as they had in April, May, and first part of June, and now all of a sudden they're needing rain again. So it's no different than normal. We need rain in July, and if we get rain in July, we'll have a decent crop. And if we don't get rain in July, we'll start to see the crop suffer.
Now, given that, the weekly crop progress reports showed 70% of the corn crop, 68% of the soybean crop across the primary 18 states of production at 70% good to excellent for corn, 68% for soybeans. Those were good numbers. And in Chicago, it sure looks like they think there might be a crop out there.
Yeah, you can't prove that it's not. You know, like I say, the farmers are nervous. And, you know, we're nervous, but I don't think we've done any irreversible damage yet. So if it would start raining, we'll be in good shape, as evidenced by the numbers. But a little concerning is that Illinois' ratings dropped dramatically, 10% lower in beans. We went from 76% good to excellent down to 66%. That's a big drop for beans. Nothing that we can't make back up, but again, it's just concerning, and it's got farmers, you know, unwilling sellers. I think most farmers that we've talked to have said that they're really not interested in selling until they get a rain. Then they'll have a little bit more confidence of as far as having something to sell.
Right choice on their part, in your opinion?
I guess at this point, you know, we've still got probably 4 weeks here of weather uncertainty. I want to take advantage of that when it gives us an opportunity. But on the days like yesterday when the market's down, I think we just keep our powder dry and wait for it to go back up. And if and when it does, we'll probably have to sell before we get the rain. And that's always a risk. But that's when you get the best prices, is when the forecast is the hottest and the driest.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM, Total Grain Marketing. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thanks so much. probably better talk about maybe the Ring of Fire, the high pressure across the Midwest, and what you think we'll see for the next week or so.
Yeah, there is definitely some interesting conditions out there right now. We've lost a lot of soil moisture over the course of this past week. It's amazing what 90 and lower 100 degree temperatures can do, and it doesn't take long. The topsoil is now very short of moisture from Indiana and Ohio southward into the Delta in the Tennessee River Basin area. We're also seeing similar conditions occurring from Nebraska into parts of Minnesota. And the subsoil, though, is still favorably rated. There's very few areas that are considered to be too dry in the subsoil, as you probably would expect with this kind of environment where it's been hot for a week, 10 days. And the outlook here is going to be extremely important, though. And it does not look very good for rain of significance to occur in the eastern Midwest, Indiana, Ohio, maybe Michigan, down into parts of Kentucky. Those areas will probably see, they're not going to be completely dry, but they'll see a limited amount of rain over the next week to maybe as much as 10 days. But we'll go a week for right now. The temperatures will not be as hot as they have been. That's the good news. As we get to the end of the weekend, early next week, we'll get a cool front to come through, and that'll bring in those temperatures down to a more seasonable range. But the problem is the Gulf of Mexico is not open as a moisture source. So when the cooler air comes around, we're only going to be able to see a scattering of showers and thunderstorms and not much in the way of meaningful rain. As a result of that, of course, the ground is going to continue to dry down. Now, there's another frontal system that will come along in the early days of July, and that will likely come with a little better moisture potential because the Gulf by that time will be a little bit more open. In the meantime, the Western Corn Belt, Iowa in particular, has a pretty good chance for some rain and thunderstorms. And Iowa is really the garden spot of the Midwest right now. They've had a couple of nice rain events. The soil moisture there is still hanging in there relatively well. And we've got more rain coming up as we finish out this week in Iowa. So both Iowa and Nebraska, southeastern Nebraska, and a few areas over the line there in Missouri and Kansas will likely do well. Areas to the north, I think we don't have to worry too much about Minnesota and the Dakotas. I think those areas will likely benefit from the frontal systems that will pass through and that there will be some timely rainfall. So it's really the eastern Midwest, the Delta, and really most of the southern states. I know we don't talk about those areas very often, but from Texas and Oklahoma through the Delta into the southeastern corner of the country, those areas are definitely drying out, and they will continue to do so for at least another 7 days with daily highs in the 90s to around 103 degrees.
We take it Illinois as a transition state from the garden spot in Iowa to drier areas in Indiana and Ohio.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of amazing. I've kind of left that out, right? Right in your backyard. But you're absolutely right. The western part of Illinois, especially the northwest, is doing very well. The east is dry, like Indiana, and will continue to dry out as well. And we will look for, like I said, a little temporary relief next week. But I think we're going to have to wait until that first week in July, the first full week, before we can really do well with precipitation maybe in some of those areas.
Thank you very much.
You have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find information from the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist here on the U of I campus, along with links to the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, a podcast page, USDA reports, and of course, weather forecast too, at willag.org. Our theme music for the day is written and performed by Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.